Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
How's everybody's Easter going so far?
Pretty great, apparently, because I completely forgot that was right now, today.
Mine's been going good. How did everybody's battle with the big rabbit go?
I've had better years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I at least took a couple of chunks out of one of his ears.
Good.
My teeth are bigger, so, I mean, I always have that advantage.
I've been practicing all year. I keep buying tricks and leaving it around the house so that I practice on the smaller rabbit when he's trying to get the cereal.
Nice.
He absolutely thundered me with those big legs today. Like, just positively got me in his grips and just started blasting me with those legs. And every time he did, jelly beans came out of me, and I'm not sure where from. I don't recall that in previous years. So I don't know if it's an aged into it thing or if he's got a new power.
I brought home another trophy this year to add to my wall.
Wow.
And I just stood there and ate robin eggs in front of him. It was great.
I don't think I believe you because you said you had forgotten that it was Easter, which implies like some concussive damage that maybe he whooped your ass and you forgot.
Hey, you know what? You can take a few hits and still win.
Okay, so you just wondered, you weren't sure where the trophy came from, but now it's all coming back to you as we talk about it.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
What is the trophy? Do I want to know? Should we not discuss this?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, fair.
Oh.
This reminds me that last year this time we ran an Easter one shot.
Oh yeah, I ran the bunny monster.
Oh man,
that's the one I'm talking about. Like, he came for me. He was upset that I told his story and I didn't do it justice, and he came for me hard.
You didn't do it justice? What did you?
Well, okay, I think he was trying to explain it to me, but he doesn't speak human words. Like, it's almost sort of like a weird eldritch tongue a lot of the time.
Wait a minute. You didn't take eldritch tongue in high school?
Mandatory
class?
I didn't take eldritch bunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
This core 40 really messes people up
when
you get older.
It was an elective at my school.
Okay. Absolutely mandatory all 4 years for mine, so.
I had no idea it was Easter until I can't remember who came in and said it. I was like, oh, it's Easter. I was like, oh, right.
Cool.
Well, let's record.
Well, let's do what we usually do on days that aren't Easter.
On Sundays, yeah. It is the beginning of the month, so we would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who joined us on our Patreon in the month of March. Harry Ward, Benjamin Gray, Danny82, Matt Barnes, Jency Britt, The Ragamuffin, Ben Doyle, Corpse, Sean Klein, Flanneled Bear, Ossifer, and Mary. So thank you to all of you who joined us this month, and thank you to all of you who join us every month. If you would like to find out more about our Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/thecritshow to learn all about the things that we offer there. And as a matter of fact, actually, April is the month if you'd like to join and get in on the swag tier or the t-shirt tier. This is the beginning of that new cycle. This morning I was working on the swag that we're getting ready to send out, and I am very excited for everyone to see it.
Yeah.
It looks so cool.
Yeah. Also, just a little update on the cosplay contest for our 3-year anniversary. We said we would announce the prizes. We put our heads together and came up with the prizes. Again, the winners will be drawn at random, and the entry date for that is Friday, May 21st at 11:59 p.m. We will announce the winners on the 26th. The prizes that we're going to give away, one of them will be just a pile of swag. Whenever we make stuff for the Patreon or order things for the store, we always add a little extra and hoard it away for, you know, moments like this. We've got water bottles and pint glasses and all kinds of things. So we'll send you a
and other things that aren't drinking vessels.
Other things that we don't drink from. So we'll send you a big fat pile of swag. sounds like an insult.
Insulted them, yeah. Yeah. So we'll send you big fat pile of swag. Hold on.
One of the other prizes will be that I will run you through a one shot of Monster of the Week with you and three of your friends. We'll figure out how to do that like on Skype or Discord. And then for the third prize, that will be a coupon code for our store. We have the t-shirts and everything like that that ships internationally. So that will be a coupon to use on the store to get some free merch that way. So again, any character from anything we have done, submit that through email, through the website, or tag us on Twitter by Friday, May 21st. And then lastly, we're coming up towards the end of iHunt. We are playing iHunt over at our Twitch channel. On the 8th and final episode of that, we're going to be giving away a copy of iHunt, and it is a very good game and a very big book. I believe that they told me that the price of that book is $69, and they instantly said, nice. Yes. And they said it that way on purpose. But we also have a bunch of other swag that we were sent by the creators of the game. So we will be giving out a copy of that book as well as some of the other swag that they sent us during the final episode of iHunt, which you can find over at twitch.tv/thecritshow. I think with that, it's time to let the recap roll.
This is so weird. Where are we?
I think we're in Fanarin.
I mean, Death told me that I wouldn't be able to come back to Fanarin. So I don't think this is exactly that, but it sure does seem similar.
That fire over there is where this, it hits a doorknob, I guess. I don't know what we would need it for, but that thing, her whole purpose was to be here and guard it. So we should probably get it.
Hi, I'm Tass.
Oh, nice to meet you. I'm Raylor.
What are you doing up here?
Studying.
Oh, what are you studying?
Oh, the various inhabitants of this mountain. There are all kinds of interesting things here to be found, and yeah, I'm just a big fan of learning.
Raylor, do you mind if I pop out your doorknob real quick and give something a shot?
Sure.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, so you pop off his doorknob and you place this magical silver one on. You open the door, and instead of opening out to the snow, it opens into a large stone room. You can hear the sounds of music playing and people talking, and the smell of beer and chicken come wafting through. And there are some heavy footsteps as someone approaches down a hallway just to your left that you can't quite see through this doorway. And a head peeks around, very high off the ground, like 7 feet. Green skin, a chef's hat, and a broad smile.
Welcome to the Inn That Wanders. What can I get for you?
Trog?
Yeah, that's my name. How are you?
I launch through the door and hug him.
Oh, careful there now, little fellow. What's going on?
It's me. It's Tass. I used to be a halfling with the horns, and but we went to our other place, and but this is me for real.
Oh, look at you. You all grown up.
Oh, it is you. It's our you. Oh,
it's good to see you.
Wait, grew up. You. Hold on.
Yeah, you like used to be a little tiny thing with horns, and now look at the size of you.
All right.
You're like twice the size.
Yeah, that's okay. Yes, fair. I grew up. All right, cool. Oh my God.
Holy shit, it worked. Kind of.
Yeah, I wonder. Hey, first of all, hey, Trog, it's me.
I know that voice.
Yeah, buddy, what's up?
Hey, how are you? I wasn't sure I was going to see you again.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. So you know how this thing works? Like how we found the entrance, the magic doorknob?
Yeah, yeah. We had some issues a while ago. You know, Haven, it's kind of exists in its own little space. And we had a problem where one day, Lendara and I, we couldn't get out. Like, it just stopped working. And so we had this idea of where we made these magical doorknobs and we just started putting them through the teleporter. And eventually, people started opening the door and they came back out. And now we've just kind of become, I don't know, like a interdimensional pub. People find the door, they can come in as long as you got the doorknob. You can open the door wherever, and it leads here.
So, can I pop the knob back off here and bring it with us? Is that what we have to do?
Yeah, yeah. If you want to be able to, like, come back here from another door.
Oh, all right.
Hi, I'm Megan.
Oh, hi, Megan. How are you? I like your hair.
Oh, thanks. I like your hat.
Thanks.
And, Trog, that's Raylor.
Oh, hey, Raylor. Are you, you joining? You coming in? What exactly is going on here?
I guess we've cracked an entrance to an interdimensional pub. Does that sound like your kind of thing?
May I ask what world this pub is on? It's technically part of Fanarin, but we're kind of not really on any plane of existence. It's like between the planes. If you were to like break the walls, it's just kind of gooey magic.
Oh, well, it's very exciting. This would be my first trip off of Card. I've heard of other worlds. I just was never sure I'd ever see one. Yes, I think I will indeed join you.
Nice. Yeah, I'll remove the knob before we close the door behind us.
Oh, it's so much warmer in here.
Wow. Of all the things I was not expecting.
So, how do you guys know each other? I'm guessing it's a Fanarin thing?
Yeah. We, weren't friends when we met.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys tried to bury me in a pile of garbage.
Yeah, tried to burn down his house.
Yeah, with me in it.
Yeah. They were trying to kill us, though, also. So it was kind of, you know, turnabout is fair play type of thing.
I was just trying to make dinner.
He was innocent. That's why we're friends.
That makes sense. I was very suspicious of them as well.
I mean, look at him.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't even look this way when you met us.
Yeah, I know. You're more suspicious now.
I like him.
Yeah. And then anyway, he and I both ended up kind of stuck with the other Esten.
Yeah. This place used to be his lair, I guess, and Jake and I turned it into like a base for a while. We used to have adventures and like trying to save TJ's grandfather, and then they left, and you know, we just got stuck in here one time, and then we kind of turned it into this tavern. Come on in. And he walks a little further in and turns left to go down that hallway into the main dining room, and inside of it, as you come around the corner, you can see that they indeed have built up a wooden bar. There's a bunch of tables here. There's a stage where a bard is playing some music.
Where is Landara?
She's off on an adventure. Someone came through, and they were having some problems at their home, and she decided to go through and give them a hand. She was getting kind of antsy just hanging out here.
Who's Landara?
She was another person who we actually recruited as like a guide while we were here. She was pretty cool.
And you're here doing what you do best.
Yep, making my famous ricey fish and slinging brews.
Outstanding.
Trog, have you heard or seen anything about Esten?
Not since you killed him.
Well, unfortunately, we got another one back on our world.
Oh.
Somehow he came into or through Card. Is that what you said it was called, Professor?
Yes.
And we are not sure where he has ended up. I didn't know if he had dipped through here at any point or...
No, if I'd seen him, I'd have smashed his dumb face.
Okay, but... You said this used to be his, like, Esten's place?
Yeah, this was his lair that he created. It's where he had Jake captured for a while. Remember he did those experiments on you?
Yeah, how could I forget?
Oh, did he leave? I mean, I assume he left some stuff behind. I mean, do you guys find anything that might help us figure out what this Esten is doing, if he's kind of got the same goal?
There were some books and things, but we really poured over what we could. We got some stuff that was helping us in the moment, but I don't remember anything that would be connected to any of this. I mean, it's the same kind of thing he was trying, but in a whole different world with a whole other set of resources.
Yeah, we really didn't keep anything of his. Seemed a little creepy. Never know what it, you know, could do. Though we did keep that. And he indicates to the far end of the bar in the corner where Jake, the golem that you inhabited for quite a while, stands in the corner.
Whoa.
What is it?
That's like my body. Boy, the horrific implications of seeing that again didn't really occur to me until I saw that again, but that is like, that was me.
Yeah. You had that mohawk made of gems.
I did have the mohawk made of gems.
It's pretty cool.
And the chef's hat and the apron.
This sounds like some weird like DLC outfit that you got for the character.
We installed mods. I mean, in some way, we need to try and pick up a trail still. We need to try to figure out where Esten went. That's the goal here, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to assume, you know, since Trog said he didn't see him, that he didn't come this way, so he's probably still on Card?
Yeah, I have to assume.
Unless he has another portal there somewhere that leads to another place.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fair. So what happens when we go back through the door? Does it just spit us out right where we came from?
Yeah.
Nice. That's wild. This whole thing is so cool.
Yeah, there was, like I said, we had quite a while to work on it and really nothing else to focus on since we couldn't get out.
Yeah, fair.
And as you're all kind of contemplating what it is exactly you want to do next, Trog goes behind the bar and starts getting some refreshments together. And I think we're going to count this as a short rest. And the Inn That Wanders has a special move. When you take a short rest at the Inn That Wanders, roll plus wisdom.
Okay.
4.
10.
Also a 10.
All right, so Jake, you eat the food and you drink the drink and you get very drowsy and fall forward onto the bar asleep.
Okay, but like what's the effect of the roll?
Tass and Megan, so on a 10 plus, you get to choose 3 of these 4 options. You recover as if you have rested for 3 days. You eat and drink your fill and collect 3 rations. You experience a vision. You do not collapse into a mystical sleep.
Oh, God. And we're picking 3 of the 4.
Correct.
Well, I'm going to say not collapse into the sleep.
Okay.
Now, is it magical in the sense of like it's a magical effect or it's just like this is the best sleep I've had in a very long time? It's magical.
A little of both.
I got to say, that's real tempting.
I think I'm going to go with the first one and the third one. So recovery and then a vision.
Okay.
Yeah, since one of us is already asleep, I suppose I'll not fall asleep as well and go with the other 3.
All right. So you both get to add 3 rations to your collection. You get to heal your damage and you both get a vision. Megan, the vision that you have is reaching out to this ley line and channeling that energy and that memory of shattering through the different panes of glass. And I think for a brief moment, you get this almost bird's eye view of this snowy mountain that you were all traversing over. And you remember walking through a cavern and then passing through this energy field and then being in snow. And for this brief moment, as you are getting this bird's eye view of this place, you see 4 orbs just next to each other, connected to this tunnel, and each of them is glowing with a slightly different energy field around the entirety of it, and they almost look like snow globes. Only one of them has literal snow in it. One of them looks like it is filled with water. One of them looks like it is filled with shadow, and the other one looks like it has some large castle inside of it. Tass, the vision that you get is of you laying on a stone slab in that moment when they resurrected you, and that feeling of all of the energy coursing into you and the change that happened to your body. And you see it again as you stepped through this energy field. In that vision, you see the glowing gem in your head light up in both of them very brightly as if it's absorbing the energy and the magic from the world around you, transforming you into what that world allows. Jake, you are so comfy and so asleep.
Tight.
What are you dreaming about? Like, this isn't a vision. What are you dreaming about?
Oh, man. I'm in an episode of Gilmore Girls. It's like that dream logic where, like, I am one of the characters, but also nobody knows me. It's where they open the ice cream shop. I'm running the ice cream shop in Gilmore Girls.
Like, no one knows you? Like,
Everybody's treating me like I'm me, yeah. And I'm a new person to them. Like, I'm someone they know, but I am Jake. Except I am filling the role of a character that already existed in the show.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Those are great dreams.
Yeah. I feel like I belong.
Yeah.
And everybody's so fast and so witty. God, I love it here.
It's a nice change from the normal world you come from. surrounded by all of us dullards.
Fuck.
Big sad.
So Tess and Megan, both of you feel rested. You have healed. You have gotten no strange magical sleep. But you notice that after you finish your food, after you have this vision wash over you, Jake is still asleep.
Whoa. Do you feel like you just fell asleep?
No. But like, kind of like I had a dream or like a vision, maybe?
Yeah. Like, I get visions a lot, but this was different. This was, I don't know. I kind of felt like I fell asleep and Jake's still riding his, I guess.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, he'll probably be out for a while. It seems to be people come in here and they have a drink, have something to eat, and they get rested up. Sometimes it's kind of like instant. Sometimes it's kind of like 3 days they sleep.
3 days?
Yeah, give or take. 4 more days.
Try the rum raisin.
Three? Can we wake him up?
You know, I've never been able to so far, but that doesn't mean you can't.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
He will wake up feeling very good.
Well, that's great, but...
We don't really have the time.
Yeah.
I think?
Yeah, we gotta get him out of here. I wonder if pulling him through the door does anything?
Maybe. I mean, we could try it. I guess we could bring him back if we can't wake him up through the other side.
Right.
So what was your vision about?
Oh, right. So, like, you know, I became the Chosen, right? Like, we sort of forced it to happen. There's something about all of this that I saw in the vision that made me feel like that again. Like, coming through and being in the space and, like, that awakening, like, that energy, the way that it snapped into me.
Like, you think it has something to do with you being a Chosen?
I don't know. I don't know that it's about me exactly.
Just Chosens in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, what I saw was, like, I could kind of see when we were going through the tunnel, like, coming through into Card, it was like passing into this, like, bubble of a world with snow in it. And, like, we were partway through it, and then it continued on past that. And there were other bubbles, one with shadow and water, and I think there's, like, a castle at the end. I think maybe he is there. Like, we have to go through to get to him. I mean, it makes sense if, you know, we were going through this tunnel and we went through a portal into another world. It makes sense if there's another portal to another world and then another one, if he's trying to hide.
Yeah, so, like, again, there's that idea of there has to be a path to where he wants to go, even if he can teleport in or out. So, yeah, I mean, this is either a part of the grander thing or he just is really, really good with his security. I mean, think about this, having to fight our way through all of this just to get to him. If you're saying this is the first of 4 of these globes we have to go through, that's wild. With both her vision and mine and kind of these pieces, is there anything that I think I could suss out from that? Like, I don't know, is there any connecting thread?
Yeah, you could try to roll discern realities if you're trying to puzzle this together.
That's a 9.
Yeah, if I could help out by, like, establishing a mental connection and showing him essentially the same thing that I saw.
Okay, roll 8 or interfere.
8.
All right, so that bumps you up 1 task. And I think, Megan, this does put you in danger, so it's just going to be a -1 on your next telepathy.
Okay.
All right, that bumps me to a 10.
Yeah, so you get a hold 3.
So with all these pieces, what here is useful or valuable to me?
Leaning in the direction of the vision that you had or the vision that Megan had?
I think I have to go with mine.
Okay. So I think the thing that's useful or valuable to you here is that when you became the Chosen, you took in all of this energy and you were able to do that because of the crystal in your head. And you know that the crystal in your head means that you are not necessarily a Chosen, but a possible Chosen. And you experience the same thing coming through to Card into this dungeon world-esque world. You changed. You magically absorbed the energy and became something that fit in this world. And you don't feel any negative effect like Grandpa Tincture discussed coming here bodily. And I think the valuable piece of information here is it wasn't just you who changed. It was all 3 of you.
Wait a sec. Wait a minute. It clicked in my head. We walked through. I felt that same thing, that same, well, the spark that a Chosen would get walking through. I think we're all 3 possible Chosen.
What?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that makes so much more sense. I don't know what Nash was planning or how he was planning to force it. I mean, taking a monstrous and doing something like that is one thing. I don't know what all the pieces he would need would be, but I guess it just never occurred to me that somebody would have to already be a potential as well to get changed. If it happened to you, of course you are. Oh my God.
So you're saying that I only, well, other me, I guess, only got turned into whatever it was because I was a possible Chosen?
I mean, that had to have been a factor for him choosing you.
This guy too? And I point at Jake.
Apparently.
Order more maraschino cherries.
So with that in mind, for hold 2, I'm thinking about Megan's stuff now. There are these four sort of orbs and worlds to go through. To me, it just looks like this is the path we have to take. Is there anything about this that isn't what it appears to be?
So the thing here that is not what it appears to be is, yes, it is the path you think that you would have to take to get to him. But with what you know about the runes and the circles and the magic spell to transfer that power into another person, another host, that Nash is drawing power from other worlds. You know that from Megan's grandfather that you talked to. As you see this in Megan's head, as she shares this vision with you, you see the stone tunnel and these four little orbs still surrounded by rock. So it seems like Esten is drawing his power from other places, but maybe can't do it as well. So he's brought pieces of those other places to him.
Megan, okay.
What?
Okay, it's coming together.
Okay.
So all the pieces, there are the circles, right? Like for these spells that we've kind of talked about, it's always four circles, three surrounding one.
Uh-huh.
There are four of these orbs that are just in the hallway from what you showed me. These are the circles. One of them is the quote unquote central circle. The other three he's pulled to himself to kind of our world, sort of. They're just in the tunnel, but he's like made them little pockets that he's using as the other circles to fuel his thing.
So he's drawing energy from these other worlds through these orbs.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens if we cut off the connection? Can we do that?
With that thought, like if he's using these orbs to bring in these worlds and use them as a source, what here is useful or valuable to me? Like I'm trying to figure out the difference between should we do more work in each one, trying to find whatever this piece of the circle is that he's using and break that, or like is the useful thing to plow through these and get to him?
Yeah, I think with what, and I don't, this isn't a jab, but with what little you know of magic compared to like Jake.
Yeah, yeah.
That you think it would have to be a very powerful spell to keep like a chunk of a world tethered in our world. I kind of described that it almost looks like a little snow globe. Like I think you can see the layers, like someone took an ice cream scoop and just took part of a world and dropped it down. So like Raylor may not even know that he's in this dome. Like he just thinks he's on the mountain and he goes to the edge of it and is like, oh no.
Yeah.
And so you imagine it has to be pretty powerful magic to keep part of another realm tethered here. And so you don't think you could undo that inside of the spell. You think that to undo that, you would have to get to wherever that spell is being cast or is anchored.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. I don't know. God, we need Jake to be awake for this, but still with what I've seen, I think we just got to get through these. You know, part of what we want to do with this whole scheme going to the future and all that is to find all of the pieces so that we can break them down. But we're like inside of a piece. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're inside one of the bubbles.
Yeah, so I don't think we can break that without something catastrophic happening, or even at all, really, probably. So we gotta go.
Yeah, if we're not even through the first one yet, I mean, I can't imagine what we're gonna end up facing, but we should probably get going on it.
I guess we're dragging Jake out of here and hoping that wakes him up, and if not, we'll do what we can.
I'll use my telekinesis to just weaken at Bernie's, carry him along. It'll be fine.
I like it. Very good. Well, damn, Trog, it's good to see you, bud, but I think we have to scram.
You're right. Good luck.
Thank you. And now that we have the knob here, you can bet we'll try to see you more.
Yeah, sounds good.
It was really nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as well.
Raylor, you chilling here, or are you coming back through?
I rolled his dice. As you turned to ask him that question, he is also asleep on the bar.
Welp. I'll get Raylor.
Okay, yeah. I'll use my telekinesis to levitate Jake out of the room.
Yeah, no problem. You are able to lift Jake out of his spot at the bar and hover him over to the door. As you all approach the door, it does open of its own accord, and you can see the inside of Raylor's cave through the door.
After you.
After you, and I have Jake go through, and I follow him.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
All right, so you push Jake through, and then you all follow, and the door closes behind you. Jake, how much harm do you have?
I'm only sitting at 1 damage right now.
Okay, so you're at 2 now. There is a moment where, as you pass through this door, you are jarred awake. You feel like if you had been in worse shape, that could have been way more deadly. But the two of you see, as you push Jake through the door, he's ripped out of this magical sleep, and a couple of his old wounds open up and start to bleed.
Gah!
Oh, no.
Oh, what happened?
You fell asleep.
And you interfered with that?
Yeah, Trog said it was going to be like a week or something.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I know, but there's stuff going on. And hey, good news, you're a Chosen.
What are you talking about?
Megan and I had some visions. I sort of parsed it together. All three of us are potential Chosens. I don't know what to do with that, but that's not the point. The point is, we have to keep going. There are the orbs that, like, well, no, oh God, I don't even know where to start with this.
Okay, start over. We're going through the tunnel. We go through a portal. We're in the snow world, right?
Yeah.
Snow world's like a bubble. We pass through that bubble. We find another bubble with some other weird stuff in it. We do that again, and we do it one more time, and then we should probably find Esten.
Yeah, that was way better than my thing.
Okay, so do we know a direction? Where are we literally just like walking across this to the other side or something? Can you guys just put me back in the dream?
No, if we have to be here, you do too.
I was Lorelai Gilmore is such a card, guys. Like, it was a good dream.
I literally don't know what that means.
I do. Let's keep going forward. I think if we just follow the path up this mountain, maybe just like the path we were on, because that kind of felt right. Like, we thought we had to go this way, right?
Yeah, if they were lined up the way you showed me, it seems like we got to just go from one to the next. We have to get through whatever this space is, sort of path is.
I think at this point, Raylor, who has also been jarred out of the sleep, raises his hand.
What do you mean, trapped in a bubble?
So you're kind of in like a little pocket dimension version of a piece of your world, like it was sort of scooped out of a card, you said it's called?
Yes.
And it is now sort of occupying another place. So until we get through and break that, you're sort of trapped here.
Oh, where did you enter into card? Like, what was your surroundings?
Kind of in the middle of a field, looking at the mountain in the distance and that little camp.
Yeah, we weren't too far away from that camp.
Oh, all right. I will not venture past that point until I don't know. What would the signal be that it's... I'll just continue to do my research and I'll go see if there's a boundary when I'm finished, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the best we can offer you.
So do we keep going towards that bridge that you talked about?
I mean, that seems right. It seems like the only other path.
Yeah, and the bridge would be essentially just a straight line from where you came in.
All right, I think we need to get there to get through this world. Jake, how you feeling? See, you're bleeding a little bit there.
Oh, yeah. I am. No, I'm pretty good. Yeah, that kind of smarts, though.
I mean, I've got some more bandages and stuff if you want to get wrapped up before we run.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Band-Aid here.
All right, and I'll get to work on patching him up.
All right, so you apply bandages, remove one charge, and Jake, you can heal those 2 points of damage.
Huzzah, I'm full.
Well, Raylor, do you know the fastest way down the other side of the mountain?
Do you have a sled?
No.
Do you have one we could borrow?
One.
That'll work.
Very well.
And he goes over into the corner and opens up a box and pulls out a fairly long metal sled.
Oh, but then now I'll feel bad if you get in a scrape and the big beast thing comes for you. You won't be able to get away quickly.
Yes, that's true. This is my emergency conveyance.
Dang it.
This is my escape sled.
Break in case of Yitai.
I could try to like go back to that camp and bust off a door or something if we want to just have a makeshift sled.
Well, that seems like a long trek just to do that.
I think I could teleport here, though.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
I think I brought that with me. I don't think I can bring you guys along, but like, actually, I feel like I'm kind of like looking around. I'm like, I think if I can see it, I can do it. If I can see it, then I can be it. I don't remember the actual words to I Believe I Can Fly.
I bled, I can sled. I hope I don't fall and bust my head. If the Yitai catches me, I'm dead.
How do you have a karaoke machine in here?
It's standard research equipment.
It's what he records all his field notes on.
I'm researching the acoustics of caves.
I love him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know if that would work. Sleds usually have, like, the front end is kind of turned up to be able to, like, be aerodynamic and, like, work on snow. And we could try it, but I don't know.
And if we start to wipe out, we pop in the knob, open that baby up, and fall through to safety.
Perfect.
I just have no better idea.
I mean, yeah, if you can teleport and we don't have to wait for you to make the entire journey, let's try it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll walk back out and scan the horizon for that camp again. Can I see it from here?
Yeah, you can. It's a little hard to see because you notice that the snow has picked up, but you can still make out the outline of the shacks.
Okay. Well, I can barely see it. The weather's getting worse again, though.
Ooh. Does it look like the weird witchy ghost woman stuff, or is it just legitimately getting worse?
I have no idea.
Well, if your ability to teleport is conditional on your visibility, either hurry up or this is a bad idea.
All right, I'm going to take a second to gather up some magic here.
All right, roll it.
12.
All right, and how much does it cost to teleport, or you just have to have some?
I can spend one magic to teleport to a location I can see.
Okay.
So I will spend one to teleport to the camp.
So Jake, what does this look like when you use the sword to teleport?
Well, the text of the move says your weapon can slice through space. So I think I literally swing the sword down and it cuts a rift that I just like instantly follow through.
Yeah, so you slash through space and step into the center of this little camp with its four huts.
I'll take a brief look around to see if there's anything here that seems like it would be a better substitute for a sled.
Why don't you roll Discern Realities?
7.
All right, you get a hold 1.
What here is useful or valuable to me?
I think that looking around, you do notice that part of the roofs of these places have some metal on them. And you think that if you were to take the doors and that metal part of the roof, you could probably make what Megan described, something, a lip at the front to stop snow from just piling up on it.
Okay, then I'll do that. I'll start trying to break one of these down and get the requisite pieces.
So I think as you're doing this, you do hear, again, that familiar wail on the wind.
I go faster.
Yeah, that's fair. I just imagine you kind of looking back over your shoulder as you hear that, and you do see her off in the distance. She's not looking at you. She's just kind of roaming, but the storm does seem to be centered around her, so it seems like you were able to dissipate her, but that she has reformed in this area.
Okay.
But you were able to gather the pieces and spend another point of magic to get back to Raylor's cave.
All right.
Oh, look at you doing some inventing here, huh?
Yeah, I think we'll have to kind of bind these together, but hopefully this will serve the purpose. Spooky Snow Lady is back. Yes, she has kind of reformed, remanifested. She's out there making the snow.
That's interesting. You destroyed her, but she pulled herself back together, or maybe did you not kill her? I guess, how do you kill a ghost?
Yeah, that's a good point. If it's more just dissipating her until she reforms, then yeah, she might just be there.
Interesting. There could be something inside of her. I suppose this is probably not your immediate concern, but there could be something inside of her journal that maybe would help discern how to permanently release her, but I do realize you're in a hurry.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to release someone that's trapped in that way, I don't know that we have time for that at the moment.
Also, we might want to reconnect this to the rest of its plane, or else There might be nowhere to release her to.
Oh, God.
Oh, interesting.
Because, I mean, like, I don't know, this might be cut off from the beyond, you know? Whatever, if you've been scooped out of your dimension, maybe there's nowhere to go.
Oh, so you're saying maybe I can't die?
Maybe. Or maybe if you did, like, you'd also be trapped here, inevitably. But we're going to fix that.
Those are both very interesting options.
I'm going to start trying to put these pieces together, make a sled.
Yeah, no problem. It takes just a little bit of time. Railer has some equipment in here that can help, but you are able to basically use this metal to put a lip around the sled and in some of the slats in the wood of the door to make sure that it won't take out a bunch of snow when you try to use it.
Okay, let's sled down a mountain, shall we?
Let's do it. I'm ready. I'm so excited. Let's go.
Middle.
Front.
Okay. Back then.
You guys ever seen Cool Runnings?
If you think I wasn't going to quote Cool Runnings as we got on this sled, you are a fool. If you think I wasn't just about to say, feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme.
If you don't think I've been Googling Cool Runnings for the last 3 minutes. yeah, so the three of you leave Raylor's cave and start heading around to the other side of the mountain. This is where those Yitai prints are. You know, what are you doing exactly? Are you trying to keep an eye out for this thing? Are you just trying to rush over there as fast as you can until you can see the bridge and start sledding? Or
yeah, I don't think I can help scanning. Like, I've got the gun up and I am trying to cover us as we go. I'm probably not paying attention to anything else, but I am looking for the big boy.
Okay. Roll discern realities.
Okay. 10.
All right, you get a hold 3.
Okay, I am scoping out the scene. So first thing that I'm really paying attention to, are there creatures hidden?
Yes, you do notice that as you're scanning around, there are certainly more of the ice gnomes that are hidden partway down the hill towards the ice bridge. And you do see the tracks of the Yitai, and you can see, seems like it's laying down in the snow closer to the peak, maybe sleeping, but you can see the steady rise and fall of a very, very large mass of white fur.
Whoa, look. And I'm going to point up towards it. You see that lump?
Oh, no. Yeah. I can see it.
Holy shit. Okay, we got more ice gnomes too on the way down. So if we could, like, you know, scooty scoot on past those as fast as possible, that would be superb. And I'll try to kind of point out the spots.
Yeah, and as Taz is showing you all of this, you know, what you see is that you're now on the far side of this mountain, and about halfway down this mountain is the ice bridge that was discussed before that spans over a large chasm that leads then to another smaller mountaintop, and that these ice gnomes seem to be buried under the snow about halfway to the bridge.
What here is not what it appears to be.
The thing here that is not what it appears to be is the bridge appears to be stable. It may not be entirely stable.
Okay. Who's really in control here?
The elements. You think that the wind, the snow, all of those things affect so much of what is aware of where anything else is, how strong the bridge is, how strong the wind is across that chasm, if anything in that chasm can hear folks above, etc.
All right, we got to get across this one way or another. So what here is useful or valuable?
You're kind of used to being on this mountaintop. Now, you've been up here for a while talking to Raylor, climbing up one side, coming around. It's very steep. You imagine that if you were to climb onto this sled and the weight of the three of you just ride it towards the bridge, you would not stop even when you hit the bridge, and that seems very bad.
Oh, you guys, no, we can't do this.
What?
Just the angle where the bridge is. If we jump on a sled and we go down this, that bridge is absolutely not stable enough for us to hit the bottom and actually get across it on this thing.
Come on.
I know. I want it to.
What's unstable about the bridge?
I think to paint the picture here, the snow bridge is literally just a bridge made of ice. There's no strong symmetry to it. There's, you know, uneven patches on it.
So was this is not constructed?
No, this is naturally occurring.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So it is a literal ice bridge.
Okay, I see. Our concern is being able to stop at the bottom before we hit the bridge.
Yes.
I mean, do we think we could, like, use some kind of anchor or something, like, as we get closer to the bottom to tie off to the sled and toss it out behind us and slow us down?
Maybe. I might also be able to use telekinesis a little bit to help. I don't think I could have complete control over it, but it might give us a little bit of a boost.
I'm going to rummage through my pack, and I'm going to pull out a grappling hook. I will mark a charge off of my adventuring gear.
Okay.
But I'll say, like, I mean, maybe I can, you know, either dig this into the snow as we go down or hook it around something as we go and use it to slow some of our momentum. Or worst case, if we start to plummet off the ice bridge, maybe I can hook it on and keep us from falling to our doom.
Yeah, I mean, that works for me.
I think this is going to be fine. Who's steering? Still Megan? Still in the front?
Whatever lets me be in the front and getting to see this, like, without any obstructed view.
All right.
So paint me a picture. How are the three of you arranged on this?
Megan in front, Tass in middle,
yeah.
Me in back. Megan's got the reins. I've got a grappling hook ready to cast it out behind us. Is it possible for me to use the sword as a rudder of any kind to help steer us?
The dice will tell us.
All right, very good. I'll save that as a possible aid in my head.
And so I guess what I'm really asking is, like, are you all facing the same direction? Are you sitting with your legs on the outside of each other? Like, how are you physically on this to do the things you've discussed doing?
Oh, I'm scared of how specific this is getting. I'm imagining, yeah, like, legs wrapped around the person in front of you sitting upright facing the same way.
I think we need to not do this, like... So if we're trying to stop before the ice bridge, we need to not do this in a way that makes this go as fast as possible. You know what I mean? So, like, if there's any way we can, like, disrupt how aerodynamic we are.
Okay.
That might help.
I can kind of, like, hang my feet, not hang my feet off the side, but, like, kind of have my heels off the side in the snow to, like, create a little bit of drag as we go along in addition to that. Maybe that's what we should do. Or should I be facing backwards so that when it's time to throw the grappling hook out, like, I'm strong holding on to that. But then I'm just going to, the sled goes out from under me and I just stop.
Either way, just me.
That's why.
Now you understand why I'm asking for specifics.
That's why I'm talking about casting it into the snow so that it drags and it slows things down. It doesn't just catch something and rip me clean off the sled.
Because you do know that there's like 2 feet of permafrost underneath the snow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you hold on to Tass and Tass hold on to me and then you do the grappling hook, the sled could keep going and we can stop
and
with
we can
you.
All stop and, yeah. Okay. So do we like actually rope each other together then? We live as a team, we die as a team? Is that what we're going for?
If going as fast as possible is not a concern, our main focus has to be steering and bailing in whatever way we can get the most control over those two things.
Okay, then that is about the only way I think I'd be able to help is, let's tie each other together. Megan, you'll steer us down. Jake, be ready to slow us at the right spot. And then I'll try to be the one to call it to literally... be the one to bail to tug you two off of that sled if it gets too rough.
Okay.
So you've discussed a couple different options. Jake, are you facing backwards or forwards?
I think I'm facing backwards.
Okay.
If they have taken responsibility for a couple of like the steering and the calling it, again, I am trying to put my trust in my team here, so I'll face the other way so that I can eyeball when I need to like hook the grappling hook onto something and like monitor it to try and slow us down.
Okay, so you're also going to be the one to give a push off.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. All right, so you all pile onto the sled after tying yourselves to one another. Jake takes his position and plants his feet into the snow, and as he starts to push off, you hear that the wind kind of shifts a little bit. It dies down, and you hear just a real deep rumbling on the ground.
What? Do I see anything?
As you look up from pushing off the sled, you see maybe 50 yards away the Yitai in a dead sprint. Towards all of you.
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Congratulations. You've reached the Amelia Project. a new life awaits. If you're not serious about this, hang up. If you continue, there's no way back. Leave your message after the beep.
Enter the offices of the Amelia Project and be ready for surprises, twists, and turns. Follow the Amelia team as they help their clients fake their deaths and come back with new identities. Each episode is different. Each client coming to the death faking agency has a unique story to tell. If death and disappearances, comedy and crime, mystery and magic sounds like your cup of cocoa, the Amelia Project is the podcast for you. Search for The Amelia Project wherever you find your podcasts. And remember, leave your message after the beep.